My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. All right, so we got our first look at the new kickoff rules. I think, if I had to guess, if I'm the powers that be, Seth, in the NFL, we've only had one NFL game with the new kickoff rules. It was the Texans and the Bears. A game with a fair amount of kickoffs, actually, for a preseason, week one preseason game. You know, most of the time, the total on that game was 31 points to be scored between both teams, which would translate to very few kickoffs. The game was 21-17 at the half or whatever it was. Like, it was a high-scoring game with a lot of kickoffs. If I had to guess, and we'll hear from Frank Ross here in just a second, if I had to guess, the people behind the new kickoff rules, if they were proud of what they've implemented here, probably looked at that Texans-Bears game and were like, ooh, okay, that didn't totally look how we thought it would look, both in terms of excitement and in terms of actual danger, I guess I'll call
it. It didn't look like any of the runs or the returns were close to breaking wide open or anything. You ended up with an average start position of right around the 25-yard line in that game. And, yeah, any of the big hits were not gratifying big hits. They were all scary, glancing blows with guys bent into awkward body positions. And so the stated goal of the NFL in this new kickoff rule was to, one, increase the number of,
returns.
Exciting returns. Yep. So small sample size, but it didn't look great. But B, to make it as safe as a normal play from scrimmage. And I feel like just by the injury rate alone, how many total returns were there in the game, Sean?
Oh, I don't know. One to start each half and then enough for three, probably almost 10, probably. Yeah.
Jake Hansen got injured. So, it's like there was already an injury, a head injury, I think, on that play. And it didn't look safe. It didn't look safer. But even if you're somebody that doesn't want football to be safer, you at least want the big hits to be like classic big hits. Like, all right, a guy lines somebody up and waylays them. They were not big hits like that. It was just ugly hits.
No. Yeah, I guess there were a total of 8 kickoffs in the game, right? I mean, there were 6 scores and then 1 to start each half. So there were 8 kickoffs in the game. Here was Frank Ross yesterday, Texans special teams coordinator. His first chance to get in front of a microphone and talk about what he thought of the new rules.
It was such a learning experience. Every coaching staff I had a bunch of people reach out to me. It felt way different than practice, in my estimation, my opinion. Hey, how fast do we really run and hit? Hey, how fast do these blockers get on you? How fast do these cover players get on top of their blocks? So it felt tremendously different. We're able to go back and people were, the guys doing it, were able to say, oh, like, here's how that really feels. So as much as you go live in practice, pads on, we've had those training camp periods where it's full team kick return and we're padded, but you don't really finish on the ball carrier. And, that was our first time of doing that. So we learned a lot. And I think individually, what do those blocks look like? It was a huge gaining learn experience, and every team across the league is about to feel that is going to play for the first time this weekend. So there's a lot to adjust and continue to move forward on.
Yeah, I'll go back to that. I just keep thinking of in World War One, Sean, when they were the airplane was new. They didn't even know how to train people how to fly airplanes, and they were just kind of like, all right. Let's see what happens. Yeah. And a lot of people crashed and died. The Texans are some 19-year-old kid out of Iowa that got thrown in a tail dragger.
Yep.
And went up for 30 seconds and then plummeted to the earth. It's like, we're going to figure it out. A lot of you are going to die along the way, but don't worry. It's for the greater good. Okay.
Picturing Jake Hansen with those big airplane goggles on and a scarf. Floating in the wind. Here we go! Punches the gas.
I'm going to deliver the mail to the trailer.
Tell the world my story.
You will not be remembered. Your sacrifices will not be. So, nobody's going to put up a monument
right.
for you.
Jake who? Yeah.
Yeah. You weren't even officially commissioned yet, bud. As far as we know, you don't actually exist on paper. This looks bad. This looks bad on the War Department stats. You died in a dysentery. You were a dysentery loss.
That's funny. Case Keenum met with the media a couple days ago, and Case is an opinion I trust greatly on a couple of guys, C.J. Stroud and Stephon Diggs. This is his second time being a teammate with Stephon Diggs. Obviously, he's been in the quarterback room with C.J. Stroud since Stroud set foot in the NFL. Here is Case Keenum's evaluation of C.J. Stroud's training camp so far.
It looks good. Looks really good. I think he's growing. I think he's learning how to communicate with receivers in, different ways and on a deeper level that will continue to, to stack reps. I've always said, like, there's communication off the field, verbally talking through stuff, showing each other things, looking at film, and then there's communication on the field where we maybe tell them a play or give them a route or a check, but also they talk to us with their body language. And the more we can see how they move in and out of breaks, and especially when you work with new guys that are coming in, like Steph coming in, I think they're all making strides in different ways than they did last year. So I'm excited to continue to see that grow.
It's kind of like learning how to talk to women, Sean. You got to learn how to read the body language. Mm-hmm. And sometimes young quarterbacks are kind of like that guy that thinks all chicks want him. And hover over a woman. Mm-hmm. Like, now I'm going to get your number and then throw you the football. Mm-hmm. Like, not everybody might look inviting. But you just don't know yet. Don't right. throw it to that lady. So as you become a veteran quarterback, you become more skilled in the art of reading body language.
A little more discerning, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's where he needs to be a pickup artist now.
Bobby Sloak is interesting yesterday. I probably should have had this cut ready, but just in listening to Case there, it made me think of Sloak was talking about CJ and how like some of what they're doing with the play calling. It's kind of like what you were saying earlier, Seth. Like you can't just
talking to women.
No, about you can't take every play at face value. That if that play failed, it's because they had the right play dialed up against the defense. Like training camp is for the offense, especially. It's very little about what the defense is doing, and it's about the offense working on things. And Bobby Sloak said yesterday, like literally, there are plays that are totally designed for CJ to not go to the first or second read,
to make it hard. Yeah.
Make it hard.
We want it to be hard.
Yes.
So there's times in practice, this is where the delicate balance between like the coordinators competing with each other comes in too. Because there's times where you got to kind of help the other side out, so you're competing against each other, but also you're cooperating with the other coordinators to be sure that you get the work done that you need to get done as an offense or a defense. So yeah, I think that's what it's impossible to read based on training camp just how good an offense is going to be or not. And there's plenty of teams that try to make it hard on the quarterback, and he might struggle in camp but then be awesome during the season, or vice versa. I think there's probably moving forward with Bobby Sloak or any offensive coordinator that's got the same mindset, there's going to be struggles in camp with the offense, because if you're trying to get to that next level, you're doing a lot of stuff where it's hard because it's either new or because you're specifically making it really hard to execute in that situation.
Yep.
And so I don't get too distraught over the negatives. And I also try not to get too excited over the positives because it's just not the same as game planning in a week for a specific opponent.
Yeah, not even close. Here's Case Keenum. Case Keenum, that you heard him talking about C.J. Stroud. He was teammates with Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. He's teammates with Stephon Diggs again here in Houston. He was asked, how is Diggs different here in Houston?
I mean, I think anytime you've had, I don't know, I play with him in 17. I play with him in 22. You know, I saw a big jump in experience there. You know, in just a couple years, too, I think even more experience. I think when you get to, you've been to the playoffs and you know what it takes to get to the, you know, the wild card divisional championship round, but you haven't made it all the way, you know, to the big one and won the big one. I think that just, that leaves you hungry. And I see a guy that's hungry for more. He's been there, he's tasted it. He doesn't just want to get there, he wants to win it. So he's putting in the time, putting in the effort. He's being himself with us, and it's fun to see.
Yeah, I forgot they were teammates in Minnesota and collaborated for one of the most famous plays in NFL history. I forgot about that. Yeah, so he's now been with Diggs. Seth, Case Keenum has been with Diggs at all three of his stops now.
Right, right, yeah. It came up when they first signed Diggs because Keenum had somebody grabbed him for a soundbite at some point, and the team we're trying to figure out whether the team had talked to Case Keenum beforehand or not. And yeah, Case has a lot of experience with Stephon Diggs, so I think he's seen both the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde side of him as well, you know, and he knows that, like, the same things that people in Buffalo still say about Stephon Diggs, that he works his butt off, that he's got great energy and all that. There's just, like, at times a different side of him perhaps bubbles up.
Yeah.
Usually when he's got a, yes. Usually when he's on his phone, there's just the problem. That's a real big conundrum in all of it. If you just quit social media, he probably could have avoided a lot of the drama that's followed him around. I got to tell you, though, Sean, I had to listen to that cut three times because it's something I've noticed since they've been in Ohio. Somebody has the Mission Impossible theme song as their ringtone on a phone.
Oh, really?
Up there. Play it. I think it's the Mission Impossible one, that dun, dun,
how,
dun,
okay.
Dun, dun, dun,
it,
dun, if dun, I'm, dun,
if,
dun.
If I'm listening for it, will I be able to hear it pretty easily?
Play the first part of this, yeah, because okay. Remember the real long intro where it's like, yeah.
I mean, I think anytime you've had, I don't know, I play with him in 17, I play with him in 22, you know, I saw a big jump in experience there, you know, in just a couple years too, I think even more experience. I think when you get to, you've been to the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah, right, that's good, Ben. Yeah.
Is that really long intro followed by the dun, 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 okay. Dun. Is that Mission Impossible?
I think that, yes, I believe. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Or is it,
so I wish that person
Dragnet?
Would go die.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
Dragnet or Mission Impossible, whatever. The text line in the YouTube channel will tell us.
I'm
going to
text
is,
Cody Stutes and find out who the perpetrator is and see if we can rat him out.
It's definitely not a media member because they would have done it once and then been shamed out of it. But it's somebody standing outside the tent.
Yeah.
Stop it. Just stop it. You're distracting your adult sports radio host here back in Houston,
Seth.
Okay?
Yes.
I'm still hearing it in my head right now.
Yeah,
it's
now
stuck
really
in my
stop.
Brain.
No, now I am too.
I've been stalking about the house all day, like in the afternoons when I listen to clips. Like, yeah, I'm trying to see if there's a guy wire I can drop myself from to
peering
steal
over
my
the,
own stuff.
Peering
yeah.
over the counter and seeing if Brandy's around anywhere. this is a quote from Adam Schefter last night on the Patriots backing out of the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes. Brandon Ayuk is probably the biggest league-wide story right now because I think it's expected that there's going to be a trade fairly soon involving Brandon Ayuk. The Steelers and the Browns are the two leaders in the clubhouse right now for him. The Patriots were involved. This is interesting from Adam Schefter, and I kind of respect the Patriots for this. Schefter said, if Ayuk doesn't like the destination, he doesn't have to engage that particular team. They weren't getting a good vibe here as they tried to, they being the Patriots, as they tried to conduct communication with Brandon Ayuk and his agent. The longer it went on, the worse they felt about it. And eventually they said, what are we doing here? Let's just focus on the young receivers that we have. He didn't seem overly receptive to the contract, end quote. So it was the Patriots that pulled out of this thing. Because Brandon Ayuk never... Clearly Brandon Ayuk, it would seem, if indeed that is the case, was hoping that the Patriots would hang around long enough to help drive the price up for whoever he wound up signing with, I would guess.
Yeah, this is and this is what John Lynch would have feared, is that, man, all right, you want as many people in on it as possible, but Brandon Ayuk, don't sabotage. Please don't sabotage us by sabotaging one of these deals. And he did. He sabotaged it.
Sabotaged it by not being communicative with the Patriots. And the Patriots are like, what are we doing? Let's get the hell out. Which the Patriots never should have been involved in the first place, in my opinion. Like, they're just not, to me, there's an argument to be made to go in and getting Brandon Ayuk because he's an awesome football player. The counter argument to that, to me, Seth, is they are so far at the bottom of the barrel as far as teams now that if they trade this draft capital to get Brandon Ayuk, one, you're damaging your ability to rebuild with some more young players. Two, you're having to pay him a huge contract. They've got the cap space to do it, but the problem is by the time you're good enough to fully take advantage of Brandon Ayuk, you got to probably sign him to another extension after that, you know? Like, they're 2 years away at least from being relevant again.
The Patriots are like the guy that forgot to hit send on the stock purchase, you know, that he was going to make 10 minutes before the market crashed.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, okay. I averted tragedy there.
Right.
They may have averted tragedy
there. I think it worked out best for them by pulling out of that thing.
Catastrophe,
for sure.
I guess, yep. More so than tragedy.
Someone text-
There's nothing tragic about the Patriots falling. It's the best thing that's ever happened, finally.
This is phenomenal. They used to be the place that players would go to take a discount and ring chase, and now they're a team that can't even get calls back from players that they're trying to money whip. They made the best offer to him so far.
And finally, that damn city of Boston can stop gloating about all their championship. Oh, no, never mind. Basketball. Okay.
Kids in Boston had to go like four years without a title. It was tragic.
4 years without a title in one of their major sports. That's rough, man. That's a rough drought.
It ain't easy, man. Well, yeah, it ain't easy. Someone said that Loper Fido came in on ESPN's top 10 plays this morning at number 7. I'm glad I didn't see that. I miss Joey Loper Fido. And I know he wasn't like the next Mike Trout or anything like that, but man, seeing him, he made some plays, man.
Loper Fido did the exit right. He got emotional.
Yeah.
And it looked like, so people in Houston will always remember him for that, as long as he doesn't make any comments about it being a trash city or anything like Chandler Parsons did.
Right.
Everything was going fine with Chandler Parsons until he said that the city of Houston stinks. People still like Chandler Parsons when he went up to Dallas.
The gods
of all places, he went to Dallas and people were like, "Yeah, but he's a good guy." And you know, it was more he was trying to get Bosch, but then he had to go and badmouth the city.
Yeah.
And now people hate him.
They hate him. They do. They do.
I don't know if they hate him or not. They should.
Some do. Yeah. And his knees turned to mush after that. Then, of course, Memphis, after his knees turned to mush, gave him $100 million. Checkmate.
Boy,
Chandler wins.
And it's the Chandler Parsons.
Dude.
Talk about a glow-up, man. Remember him when he was a young dude?
Yeah.
He was just a doughy, you know, pock-faced fool. And all of a sudden, he turned into, like, Hollywood leading man, good looks, lots and lots of money.
Well, and he was good at basketball when he was at his lowest paid. Like, his scoring average and his income did like an X on the, you know, like his income kept going up and his scoring average wound up at like 7 points a game at the bottom of it.
I feel like Mark Cuban, I think he ended up, I think Chandler Parsons wouldn't have gotten paid the way he did if he didn't turn from an ugly duckling into a swan physically. He became that combination of, he's a glue guy, but he's also suave and debonair.
Yeah.
And Mark Cuban was like, this guy needs to be my wingman at the clubs because I'm getting old and creepy. Yeah. I need somebody next to me that makes me, makes me look like I belong in this club at 2 a.m.
Shark Tank ain't getting it done when I'm hitting on the ladies. I just need Chandler's waffle runoff is what I need. three or four that aren't hanging out with Chandler, I'll just take. Yeah. All right. The biggest name possibly in free agency, it looks like, will not hit free agency. We will tell you in what vocation coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. We are in the 9 o'clock hour. Nice to be with you. The biggest potential free agent out there, and it's not a sport actually, it's tied to sports, would have been and could still be Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley, who had made noise about possibly retiring, when TNT has looked like it's on the verge of losing the NBA, and they still do. The TNT Sports might get squeezed here. They're in legal entanglements right now to try to keep their rights to the NBA over Amazon. NBC and ESPN, the ink is dry on that deal. But the TNT is trying to displace Amazon and keep their spot at the NBA table. And Charles Barkley, obviously, is a big part of TNT's NBA coverage with Inside the NBA, and he's the face of that, probably the best studio show out there, certainly one of them in sports. So Barkley, throughout this whole thing of TNT, are they going to lose the NBA? Are they going to not lose the NBA? What's going to happen? Charles Barkley's future has been a big topic. At one point, he said outright, this will be my last year. I'm done with this. I'm retiring. That may have been a leverage play to try to help TNT keep the NBA. That's not happening now, Seth. Charles Barkley put out a statement yesterday or earlier this week that said, I love my TNT sports family. My number one priority has been and always will be our people and keeping everyone together. Talks about the most amazing people. This is the only place for me. I've been impressed by the leadership team who's fighting hard. Okay, that contradicts things he was saying on Dan Patrick's show where he was clowning the leadership of TNT for losing
right.
The
yeah.
NBA.
Yeah.
Said they've been aggressive in adding new properties to TNT, which I'm very excited about. I'm going to give my all as we keep them entertained, as we keep the people entertained for years to come. He signed a 10-year, $200 million deal with TNT that he's only a few years into. Mm-hmm. Had I known those numbers, I would have really called BS on his retirement threat, because where else is Charles Barkley going to go, even in his 60s now, to go get $20 million a year for basically being able to chop it up on set with your buddies, you know?
You think he was just saber-rattling a little
bit when he
threatened retirement?
I do.
That he wasn't going to walk away from that, the remainder of that $200 million.
In retrospect, I do. Yeah.
Just for whatever reason. So now, given what he just said about the leadership of TNT, I'm guessing they had a sit-down and they sold him on their vision. They explained to him the ever-changing landscape that is television right now.
Mm-hmm.
And look, he's 61 years old.
Yep.
He's been at TNT since the year 2000. There's probably a part of him that's like, man, it's like if you're... You're like an aging executive at Xerox back in the day. You're like, okay, what am I really gonna go off and work for Microsoft or something? I got 4 years or 5 years left of work. I want to finish out with Xerox.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of that. I mean, the fact that the first thing he cites are the people that he works with there, if he's being truthful in that statement, that's a big part of when you make a decision to go somewhere else. Like, all right, I got to get to know a whole new set of coworkers, a whole new way of doing business.
Yeah.
And in his line of business, you not only have the back channels to find out what it's like there, you can watch the product on television and see what it's like and ask yourself, do I see myself in that type of environment where they use their talent that way in this way?
Right. Well, like ESPN, for instance, man, yes. They get it out of you.
Yeah.
Like Stephen A. Smith, it seems like he's on camera 18 hours a day. So, yeah, for him to go and figure out, like, okay, I know I like the way they use me here. I like the people I'm working with, and it's going to be different, and it won't be obviously the same as inside the NBA, but that's a lesser unknown than, ESPN, which is the most solid, even, like, despite all of the whatever ratings and everything. Like, they're the solid – they're owned by Disney. Like, ESPN's going to be ESPN no matter what happens
forever.
With the television.
Yep.
But – Their expectations are going to be different than in TNT, where it feels like he gets to just kind of just show up and be himself.
Yeah.
For a limited amount of time, and that's probably comfortable.
Yep. This is what Mike McCartney of Front Office Sports says here. It remains to be seen whether TNT's legal challenge to keep its 40-year relationship with the NBA will succeed. If it does, even if it doesn't, this is why I want to get your thoughts, Seth, plunking Barkley down into other ecosystems.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason why Inside the NBA is so good. I mean, Barkley's entertainment value is a big part of that, but he also, and Shaq, and Kenny, and Ernie, know the NBA better than anything else. So here's what McCartney says. Even if it doesn't, TNT wants Barkley to chip in across its sports programming lineup, whether it's March Madness, college basketball and football, the NHL, and made-for-TV golf events such as The Match.
Yeah. I'm skeptical of this because I think Barkley is a nice change of rhythm and change of pace when he shows up outside the sphere of NBA basketball, but it's only because he's known as that guy in NBA basketball. If all of a sudden you're asking me to look at him as like more than just being a pleasant diversion in a golf broadcast, I don't know what the people's appetite is for that. That's where I'm curious about how that all goes. His force of personality is very, very strong. It's just that it's within a certain context.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious. I'm curious about how that all plays out.
Yeah, no, like nobody's a bigger Barkley fan than I am. Like I've loved Charles since the day he set foot in the NBA. Like he's been my favorite player forever. And obviously I love him as a broadcaster. He's super entertaining. But yeah, there is something, like I start to think like, okay, when has it worked where you take somebody that's a complete outsider to in the sports world I'm talking about, that's a complete outsider, and you've plunked them into that situation on a regular basis just to provide entertainment value? Like Monday Night Football's tried it multiple times and it doesn't work. People backlash. I don't know. Like I'll take the Manning cast as an example. I love the Manning cast when it's Eli and Peyton talking football. And I like when they joke around with each other, as long as they're kind of joking around within the context of breaking each other's balls over football stuff. It's when they bring in, they bring in Adele or, or Snoop Dogg or, like somebody somebody from whatever the newest comedy is on ABC to do a quarter with them. I'm like, I'm not here for this. And I could see where Barkley, if you're plunking him down on a college football game, I'm like, I love Charles Barkley, but I'm really here for Ohio State and Michigan State today, Chuck. I love your jokes. I'd like to watch the game.
If you look at it for sports broadcasters who have done it, I'll go both sides of the aisle. Keith Olbermann and Clay Travis.
Yeah,
I think they've both gone from sports into the political realm.
Yes.
And I don't know where Keith Olbermann is on that side of it right now. It looks like Clay Travis is being pretty successful on the political side of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge political talk, consumer. So I think it really comes down to just like how full force into that second part of your career are you? Like, how much energy are you devoting to it? And it, but it almost, your resume as a sports dude doesn't necessarily carry a whole lot of weight. It's just you got to make it on your own merits. You've got your social media followers and all of that. And I don't know if Barkley's going to, I don't know if Barkley's going to go full force into like the other stuff they might ask.
Yeah, I just think like as a consumer, like am I going to go watch, like if, let's say they, you know, Fox or TNT has some college football or they've got college basketball or something that's outside of Barkley's area of expertise.
Yeah.
Is that an attraction to me to tune into that game, or is it a deterrent for me to keep the game on? You know, like, is right. it distracting at all?
Right. Well, like, how do you feel about Barkley during NCAA basketball?
I honestly, it annoys me a little bit because he's not as entertaining on there as he is on Inside the NBA. I like some of the moments that pop up on social media that come out of that, but I'm a big fan of March Madness, and I'm a big fan of my analysts teaching me something and making me feel smarter. And I'm like, I watch more college basketball than Kenny and Charles combined.
Right.
You know?
Like, right. So, well, yeah. And that's where I think like back, and it's probably changed over the years where back when college basketball was like, for one, you actually knew who the players were.
Right.
There were big national storylines about multiple teams
yes.
throughout the entire season. Barkley was probably better in that regard, probably better at it then. Where now when it takes, okay, wow, if I'm going to talk about the NBA draft, I got to be watching YouTube of Eastern Europeans
yes.
whose names I can't pronounce
yep.
and everything. It's just a whole different level of preparation.
Text message. This is middle screen texting in. Back to Brandon Ayuk. If Ayuk was represented by David Mulligetta, he would 100% have gone to the team he didn't want to in the New England Patriots. Mulligetta is unreal at getting guys money with the teams they don't want to play for, i.e. Watson in Cleveland and Christian Wilkins in Las Vegas.
Yeah. That's Deshaun flat out didn't want to go to the Browns to the point of having excluded them from the conversation until the Browns showed up with a boatload of cash. It's
yeah.
kind of like the old W.C. Fields story of, you know, asking a woman if she'll sleep with him for $100 and she says no. Then he asks for $1,000. Oh, no. This is how it goes.
Yeah.
Will you sleep with me for $1,000,000? She says, hell yes. Then he says, okay, well, what about $100? And she says, what kind of a lady do you take me for? And he says, I've already established what kind of lady I take you for. Now I'm just negotiating price. That's where Deshaun was a whore for the Browns.
He was.
Deshaun's sleeping with an old man with a cigar in his mouth because that's what he's into now, apparently.
Jimmy Haslam, yes.
Yeah.
Christian Wilkins is a good one. I'd forgotten about that. Forgotten how much I wanted Christian Wilkins to be a Houston Texan. I'm glad it worked out the way it did. I'd rather be spending big bucks on a 2-year deal for Danielle Hunter than spending 4 years worth of big bucks for Christian Wilkins. I think that worked out fine.
I don't know if that Christian Wilkins, like that was going to be his first big payday. I think he might have gone that on his own route. He was just probably available to the highest bidder at that point.
Clearly, yeah. I mean, the Raiders paid him huge. Absolutely.
Well, plus, you know, Antonio Pierce he probably does a pretty good sales job, you know, especially for the defensive players. I could see him.
Oh, yeah.
He probably never had the opportunity to talk to Christian Wilkins. That deal was done beforehand.
Yeah, before the coaches are involved. Unless you're the Falcons or the Eagles who like to tamper with coaches, and then they probably had long conversations with him before that. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Texans can't go. Texans are on the practice field as we speak. I'll check Twitter during the break and just see what attendance looks like for today, so we'll find that out. And we'll hear from Damian Pierce. We've heard people talking about Damian Pierce. D'Amico Ryans, very bullish on him. Bobby Slowick, good things to say about Damian Pierce in the running backs room. How's Damian Pierce feeling about Damian Pierce? He was on Texans All Access, and we'll hear it coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Damian Pierce. We'll over the next couple days go over what we're going to be watching for on Friday night. Steelers, Texans. A lot of storylines for an early preseason game for both teams here in this thing. To me, the number one Texan on my list to watch on Friday is Damian Pierce, considering how last year ended for him on the bench. Off of a rookie year where he was one of the most successful rookies in the league, ran for almost 1,000 yards on a bad football team, and then just wasn't grasping things last year. And by the end of the year, it was a Devin Singletary show. by all accounts, Dameon Pierce has had a good offseason. From everything we've got to see out of Dameon at practice, he looks like a more decisive and better runner, but the proof will be when he goes out there against opponents that are able to tackle and bring him to the ground and play real football. Here's Dameon Pierce on Texans All Access with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. Johnny asking him, how you feeling? How's your body feeling?
How's the body feel? You're not getting tackled and taking the ground, but you are taking shots. You're doing blitz pickup.
Tackled? Who ain't getting tackled? We tackling out here. We tackle every day. I go to the ground every day.
So how does the body feel once you're getting tackled?
My body's fine, man. I guess I'm going to call it brotherly love, man. They showing me some tough love out here, you know, getting my body ready for the season. So Friday won't be too much of a sock, I guess. I guess that's the only good thing I get from it.
Yeah, so it's been physical for the running backs. Guys are coming up and hitting them. There's been times where Dameon Pierce, you know, gets knocked to the ground, gets up, goes, gets hit again. Like those guys aren't messing around. They're doing it the way D'Amico wants, which is you're thudding up from the front, but they're trying to get the running backs down on the ground at times. Maybe a little bit overboard, I don't know. I think the fun thing about the Steelers is that they were a good defense last year, but it's not like they're classic good Steelers defense. Their rushing defense wasn't incredible or anything, but it's a good test. It's a really good test, especially if the Steelers play their starters. Tomlin usually plays the starters one or two games, so I'm hopeful that we see the starters out there for the first couple series. And I think the decisiveness and him just Dameon being now dialed in and understanding the intricacies of the offense is going to result in a guy that plays and looks physically different. Just that runs with kind of some of that reckless abandonment that he did his first year. He actually talked about his understanding and his comfort level in the offense so far this season.
I don't see anything different about the style, but mentally, I'm leaps and bounds ahead of what I was rookie year. You know, rookie year, we had I won't say as big of a playbook as we do now.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a mental shock going from rookie year, having something so compact, then having Slow, who literally has, you know, looks off of everything. So getting another year of that up under my belt, you know, I feel comfortable. I feel confident on it. That's the thing, you know, I feel confident on the field. You know, I feel good at what I'm doing. I feel good before I even get to the play. Yeah. So it's like my pre-snap reads are, you know, much more smoother, you know, quicker. I'm not doing as much thing when I get the ball. It's just me playing ball at that point. Like at practice, like, you know, things get fixed at practice. I'm just working on, okay, how can I hit it 100 mile per hour and don't stop? Like, you know what I'm saying? The right way. So that's really what the difference is. You know, it's an intellectual thing. You know, mentally, I'm more prepared. Mentally, I'm more clear, more confident. And just overall, just a better football player, man.
Would have been interesting last year, Seth. What ultimately did Dameon in terms of being the starting tailback for this football team was not just performance, but a combination of performance and injury. He got injured in the Carolina game and then missed three games. He was inactive for three games, and they were three of the best offensive games that the Texans had all season long. He missed that Tampa Bay game that they won 39-37, where CJ threw for a billion yards. He missed that Cincinnati game where Devin Singletary ran all over the place, and then he missed the Arizona game. And I don't remember what Singletary did in that game. I remember Singletary was player of the week one of those games, and I think it was the Cincinnati game. But once Dameon came back, once he got healthy again and came back, Singletary had established himself at that
point.
This is what Damian's game log for the rest of the season looked like after he came back for the Jacksonville game in week 12. So he missed week 9, 10, and 11, came back for the Jags game in week 12, and his game log the rest of the season, 5 carries, then he had 15 carries for 41 yards against Denver, then 4 carries, 1 carry, 3 carry, 8 carries in the blowout of Tennessee for 16 yards, 8 for 16, and then from there he was stapled to the bench. He didn't see a single snap offensively. Or a single carry, I should say, against Indianapolis in the finale.
Yeah, Devin Singletary had 112 yards rushing versus Arizona. That was that stretch, the Cincinnati and the Arizona game,
yeah,
were the two games where he had over 100 yards rushing in both of them.
Yeah.
I think that there was clearly just something off. And this offense, compared to, say, what Pep Hamilton's offense was, is one in which, before the snap, depending on the alignment of the defensive line, where the safeties are, what the pre-snap coverage is, all of that. It asks people to process a lot, and the play is going to change. Your responsibilities are going to change based on the looks to a much greater degree than many other offenses. So that, as Damian said, was a little bit of a smack in the face, welcome to the real NFL moment, I think, where, okay, for, and I'm not even blaming Pep Hamilton for it. For 2021 and 2022, there was a lot of remedial stuff going on, and the coordinators could only do as much as they could with the guys they had available to them. Where Bobby Slowick was going to try to, you know, get the whole shebang going. I think that there's a very good chance that Damian, now having put the time in the offseason and everything, is a lot more comfortable before the snap, and that'll allow him to be more aggressive after the snap.
Yep. So the total numbers, first seven games of the season, Damian Pierce, 109 carries. Gets injured, misses three games. Devin Singletary looks like he's the man for two of those three games. And in the one that he didn't rush for 100 yards, the Texans scored nearly 40 points. You know, so the offense was clicking. And then Damian comes back from the injury like, hey, guys, I'm back. Yeah, you got 36 carries the rest of the year. You know, like, he literally seven games before the injury and seven games after the injury, and he had tripled the number of carries to start the season than he did to finish out the season. So so that's how it went for Pierce last year. Hopefully it's better this year for Pierce.
Hey, you know, Sean, earlier in the show you had mentioned that, man, there seems to be a lot of drama surrounding a lot of camps this year that the Texans are lucky enough not to have right now.
Yeah.
The article that you had referenced about Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, you know, not seeing eye to eye or what have you.
Yeah.
Part of that article is that at some point in the offseason, Jalen Hurts called up Wink Martindale, who was the recently deposed defensive coordinator of the Giants, who had some good performances versus the Eagles offense, and just talked to Wink Martindale for a half hour about what he had seen, like how they had game planned against the Eagles offense and where some of the issues might be, and things like that. So I don't, this feels a whole lot like when Mac Jones called up. Who did Mac Jones call up looking for advice?
I don't remember the Mac Jones.
Mac
story.
Jones, yeah, that was one of the stories about Mac Jones when he was frustrated that he had called up one of his former coaches to kind of try to dig in for answers or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could. I personally, if I'm an Eagles fan, I like that out of Jalen Hurts. Like, this guy's calling. It's not, Wink Martindale was unemployed at the time,
yes,
before he took the job at Michigan. It wasn't like he was calling up an active opponent's coach or anything, and he just wanted to kibitz with him for a little bit.
Yes. I found the article. Of course, it takes forever to find the actual name.
I'll read it for you.
Yeah.
With the playoffs approaching and the hunt for improvement unending, Hurts made an unusual move. He called former Giants defensive coordinator Wink Martindale, who had parted ways with New York. I've been doing this for 40 years, said Martindale, and it's the first time I've had an opposing quarterback call me up. I thought it was pretty cool that the guy called it. It shows you what kind of pro he really is. He just was looking at every angle that he can to get better.
Yeah, no, I was talking about the Mac Jones story.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, okay. That's okay. I found it on CBSSports.com. Chris Sims suggested tension between Bill Belichick and Mac Jones got, quote, personal when Jones sought offensive advice from outside the staff, the Patriots staff, in 2022. Tom Curran reports Bill Belichick remains agitated at his signal caller. So this is while these two were still together, obviously.
Yeah.
Curran told WEEI, the yelling and the gesticulations during the game was irritating enough, but going outside the building for counsel, that really pissed Bill off. Disloyalty in Bill's mind is almost, ooh, worse than bad play, end quote.
Ooh. I guess the funny thing there is the disconnect between, I could totally see both those quarterbacks not, if that's the way it actually happened in New England, I could see both those quarterbacks not thinking that they were being disloyal or going behind anybody's back. They're
trying
using a
better
resource. If it's not, you're not talking to a competitor, you're using a resource to try to get better. And I mean, like, he was, Mac Jones was playing in a situation where they had a defensive coordinator and a special teams coordinator be the co-offensive coordinators,
right,
for a year.
Right.
Can you blame the guy for wanting a little advice from somebody that actually knows what they're talking
exactly,
about?
Exactly. 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 So Curran, just to put a bow on the Mac Jones part of this, Curran suggested that it may have been Steve Sarkisian who, okay, Mac Jones went and sought counsel with, because he was Mac Jones's OC at Alabama. When Mac was there.
So it'd be like, I guess, if you found out your wife had, like, gone to talk to a neighbor about your sexual difficulties or something.
Or one of her old...
Hey, we can handle this in-house.
Or one, of her old boyfriends about it.
Yeah, that's a more... Yeah. Hey, you used to really get it out of me. How about you help Sean out? Can you give him some tips or something?
That move you used to use on me.
Yeah,
can you teach that to Belichick or Joe Judge? That would be great. Aaron Wilson tweets out the list of Texans not practicing. He is putting the old 280-character limit to the test here. Thankfully, you can have longer tweets now because there's a lot of guys not practicing for the Texans. Tytus Howard, probably not a big surprise just based on him leaving practice yesterday that he's got today off, I suppose.
Not on a cart. Everybody desperately wants you to know that even though he left on a cart, he did not leave on a cart.
He was not carted off. He left on a cart.
Yeah, he left on a cart. But he wasn't carted off.
He wasn't. I thought about this earlier, Seth. If I use a real-life example for that, like when someone leaves a place in regular society, not a football field, and they say they were taken away in ... or they were taken off in, that usually means they were either arrested or injured.
Even though, if someone said he
was taken away in an Uber, you could be like, well, that's literally correct. He was taken away in an Uber.
Yeah.
So that's I'm bigger on the carted off thing than you are. I think it's misleading. Carted off implies a debilitating injury. Quickly, the rest of the list. Stephon Diggs not practicing today. He went down for a little while yesterday on a collision with Jimmy Ward. So he's not practicing. Kendrick Green, Dieter Eisland, Kamari Lassiter, Jeff Okuda, Will Anderson, Brevin Jordan, Charlie Heck, Desmond King, Joe Mixon, Tim Settle, Tegan Katoriano, Noah Brown, Christian Harris, Danico Autry, and Laremy Tunsil not practicing today.
Yeah, I guess this is like a Friday practice. Since it's a Friday game, this would be like a normal regular season Friday practice. And it's in the preseason where they're trying to, I think they've got this extra week. I'm not overly alarmed by some of this just because I think they're trying to load manage. They're spreading it out and they don't want to run into the same issues they had last regular season where they led the league in number of starters games missed due to injury.
It doesn't look like they're in pads today either. It looks like they're just in jerseys.
They are not.
Yeah, they're not in pads. Okay. Yeah. That's John Lopez.
That's me.
Figgy Fig is here. Are you with me, John? You're a man who words have mattered throughout your career as a journalist.
Words do matter.
Carted off has a different implication than riding a cart off the field.
It does. Okay. It absolutely does. However, Tytus Howard was a little bit over the top. He didn't walk off the field under his own power.
Oh, yeah.
He needed assistance.
He did, yeah.
He walked to the medical tent. Yeah, would it have been better to say he was carted away from the medical tent?
No, I actually thought about this because as Sean said, I'm kind of a little bit anal about this stuff. Needed assistance from a cart to leave the facility.
Okay.
Well, but I don't. That's the thing. I don't think he needed the assistance. I think he was just riding in the cart.
I don't know.
John Harris said that the place they're practicing at is all hills and whatnot to get back to the main facility there.
Yeah. That lots of guys are taking carts away from the
guys facility. Do it at NRG because they don't feel like walking back over the bridge. They ride carts back to the.
I thought he was just lazy.
But then John also said that it was fake news that it was raining during practice yesterday, when the only reason I knew that it was raining during practice was because Bobby Slowick said that it was raining during practice. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know who's the fake news anymore.
That's that Cleveland rain, man. It's a whole different breed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How so?
I don't know. Bobby Slowick said so.
Oh, okay. According to Bobby Slowick.
That was wild to me. He's like, yeah, you know, the rain, the ball. I'm like, well, it rained 4 straight days here.
What'd you think of Framber last night?
Man, I actually wasn't discouraged, by it because that's exactly what they needed, you know, that kind of effort. But it was just, I mean, come on. I mean, that's the toughest way to lose it.
To lose the no-no with two outs.
Yeah,
I just went at that point. Once Hader comes in and walks the first guy, I'm like, they're going to lose this game.
And then another shot.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, like a deep fly ball.
And another shot.
A deep fly ball, yeah. It was good to see, though, man. Good to see.
Just what they needed.
Top part of the lineup got some things done.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. And we get afternoon baseball today. So so that's exciting. What do you guys got going on?
You know what? At 10:20, I feel kind of guilty. Is it okay to criticize D'Amico Ryans?
Of course.
Is it all right? Is that allowed?
Hell no.
Is that allowed?
He got no.
I think you should crush him, John Lopez.
I'm not going to crush him.
Yeah, crush him. Pretend it's one of your columns.
Coming up at 10:20, John Lopez, finally tells the truth about D'Amico Ryan.
You guys are always negative.
No, see, that's the, part of it is like,
why are you being negative?
I know that's coming, and that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But so it's okay.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
talk about something positive.
Can you give me a little more context?
Oh, I'll give you everything. Yeah. No, because it's not till 10:20, and we'll dig in a little more.
Okay.
I don't like what he said about playing guys in the preseason a lot.
Oh, okay.
I don't. I just flat out don't. Yeah. I think that's open to criticism.
Okay.
I mean, just look around the league. Look around the league every year. Look at injuries in the preseason. I get it. You got inter-squad practices. But I don't agree with it.
I just, you know what, though, John? Every year there's teams that go into hyper load management zone, and then they suck the first three games of the season.
I mean,
that's
maybe
the biggest, like, I feel like you got to find a balance somehow between the two.
I feel guilty that I'm like, D'Amico, I don't like
this. You're criticizing D'Amico Ryans?
I don't like this.
Well, if it's any consolation, I think he'll get over it. I think he'll be okay.
I think he'll be fine.
I don't think you're going to hurt his feelings.
I don't know. Maybe he won't be.
I think you're going to hurt him. I'm a little nervous about CJ with a rookie left tackle. That makes me a little bit nervous, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Plus, you know, John, you're not criticizing him. You're disagreeing with his approach.
Okay. I'm going to frame it
argument,
that way.
The argument is always between the ideas, not the people.
No, call him a dummy. Yeah.
I'm gonna compare.
Get personal.
I'm going to compare him to Jack Easterby.
All right. John Lopez and Figgy Fig, Chris Santiago, they're in the loop today. Seth, I will see you tomorrow, 6 a.m., antibodies.
Antibodies to you, and based on recommendations from the listener, the reliable sidearm I will use is either a Colt revolver or a Glock.
The Glock.
So I'm making that decision. Yes.
The Glock 19 got a lot of love on the text page.
Oh,
big shock. All right, we're done. we're out of time.
Get out.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.